Jonah chapter 1. Go to Jonah. We were in Haggai last week, and we're going to be in Jonah. And that's, if you find Haggai, go back a few more books and you'll be at Jonah. So anyway, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. It's a familiar book in the Bible. It's not a kid's story that was put together just for kids. Matter of fact, this really happened, what you read in the book of Jonah. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just something that God put there for us to say, oh, I know about Jonah. But do we really? Do we really know the message here? And I want to speak to you today on the cost of saying no to God. The cost of saying no to God. And Jonah chapter number 1. If you're able to stand with me one more time this morning, stand as we read just 3 verses. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it," that is, call out against it, "for their wickedness, their evil is come up before me." Verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for the testimony and the update and everything that we've heard this morning in the way of the Yucatan and what you've been doing there through missionaries like Rebecca, and started with her parents. And God, as it continues on, it's your work, and we pray your blessings upon it. And God, I pray that you would bless in this time of sharing in your word this morning. I thank you, Father, for the word of God that we are able to hold in our hands, that we're able to, Lord, take in the message that you have for us. And may we make application as you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as you're seated, I want to talk with you about the cost of saying no to God. Now, last week, yes, we were in the book of Haggai. Only 2 chapters, by the way, in that book. And it started out, of course, with God telling the people to do something, and they just simply said, "Not yet." That was kind of the way they treated God. They were not ready to follow God. And so we find that Jonah's situation here, was very similar. But his situation was he outright told God no. I know that sometimes we tell God not yet by putting him off with the intention of maybe doing what he says do, but Jonah was very bold and in his statement of just saying no to God. And Jonah was no doubt a good person. He just hated the people that God wanted him to go and minister to. And you know, there are many good people who really love the Lord, and Jonah was one of those, but they still don't do what they know God wants them to do. They simply say no to God. And by the way, we can all agree, I'm sure, that that is a dangerous position in which to find yourself in, to say no to God, to know what God expects, to know what God commands, to know what God desires, and yet to choose to disobey God. There's a great price that is to be paid for that. To teach us the consequences of such behavior, God has included an account of his dealings with the prophet of Jonah. You might say, well, I thought it was just something we were supposed to enjoy as a kid. No, it's really put there, I believe, for us as God's children today to learn what happens when we know to do right and we choose to do wrong. There's a price that's paid for that. And God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And he says, I want you to do something very simple. Jonah was used to doing this, by the way. He was used to preaching. He was used to preaching mainly to what he would call his people, but he was told to go to the Gentiles, which he hated. And God says that there's a problem there, and he wanted him to cry out, it says, to call out against the wickedness that was prevalent there among the people. But instead of obeying God, Jonah said no to God, and he tried to run away from God's presence. And by the way, this is the only recorded instance of a prophet that we know of refusing God's commission to go. And God sent a storm into his life, as we know, that affected him and all of those around him. In verse 8, we find that these men, once the storm came up, and by the way, I don't believe this was just any ordinary storm. These guys have been out on boats before, and I'm sure they have been, they've been a part of storms, but for some reason, and I don't know what kind of storm this was, it really got their attention. They knew this was something different. And so these men, they asked Jonah why the storm had come upon them, and they were curious as to who he was. They want to know who Jonah was, and they want to know where he's from and what was his occupation. And in verse 11, after finding out some details a little bit, they ask him what they could do to calm the storm. And Jonah simply told them that they'd have to throw him overboard. Now, well, that's apparently how far Jonah had gotten, to his point to where he was willing to literally be put to death before he'd go to Nineveh. Now, granted, he may have had some concern for the people that were on the boat, that he didn't want them to lose their life. But yet Jonah was willing to die rather than go and do what God set him for him to do. And after some hesitation, we know that they threw him overboard, and this great fish, some call it a whale, I don't know if it's a whale, but it was a big fish, and that swallowed him up. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And by the way, God knew the fish. I believe that fish had a name. I really do. God knew that fish because God knows everything about his creation. My dog's name's Lexi, all right? And my dog can communicate with me, and I can communicate with that dog, all right? And he goes, "That's weird, preacher." No, listen. You know, and that's just part of God's creation. And so God knew the fish. Matter of fact, in chapter 2, it tells us that Jonah's prayer for deliverance. And then, by the way, and it ends with him being vomited up on dry land. Now, after being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat that was rocking constantly, and I mean, you're in the belly of this fish. So whatever this fish is eating, you're getting. And just a matter, you're wallowing in that mess. And, I mean, can we get any more gross? Chapter 3, so Jonah's praying, "God, deliver me from this." They originally wanted to die, but he realizes he's not getting anywhere with that. But so, "God, just get me out of here." We see that in verse 10. And so chapter 3 begins with the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, and once Jonah had been rescued, God said, you know, not so many words that we see, but yet we know very plain, God just simply told Jonah that now you're ready to go do what I told you? Kind of that attitude. So what did God do? God gave him a second chance. We know that. Jonah entered into the city of Nineveh and began warning them of their impending judgment. He reluctantly went and did what God told him to do. And by the way, I don't believe his heart was right in any way. I believe he got up and preached. But God, you know what? I've found that God can, his word will never go void. He didn't have his heart right. Jonah didn't, but he preached anyway. And God used his word. But yet, in chapter 3 and verse 5, what did the people do? Well, they believed the message. And what else? They repented. And God saw their repentance, and he also changed his mind about destroying the city. Obviously, before that was what's going to happen. But after Jonah went, he preached and did what God told him to do. The people repented. They believed on God, repented. And of course, you'd think Jonah's happy by now, right? One of the greatest revivals that probably could have taken place. But what do we find? Chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and Jonah was very mad. He's very angry. Though he had been rescued from death, he was given another chance to obey God, and he had been used mightily by God. Jonah was ungrateful and unsatisfied. Does that sound like anything that you've been a part of, or you know anybody, or maybe that's been you before? Well, it was with Jonah. Now, we're looking at what some may say was one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. We weren't talking about a few hundred people got saved that day in Nineveh, but thousands. Revival came. Yet it cost him dearly to do God's will in his own time. I want to see real quickly this morning four things it cost Jonah by saying no to God. Jonah didn't say not yet, but Jonah said no to God. There's a cost. Number one, it cost him God's presence. We know that to be the case based on verses 3 and verse 10. Jonah said in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the what? The presence of the Lord. Now notice God didn't leave Jonah, but Jonah left God. And he fled, he thought, from the presence of God. Now, when I say he left God, and obviously God knew where he was at, but yet he just, and like we see in verse 10, we find again he left from the presence of the Lord. He fled from it. Now, I believe that it is possible for a person to become so backslidden that they no longer want to obey God's word. And Jonah was like that. That's exactly where Jonah was. He deliberately disobeyed God's command to go to Nineveh. Now, God is omniscient, meaning that simply means He is everywhere. While no one can actually escape from the Lord's omniscience, it's thought that Jonah was attempting to flee from God's manifest presence. Now, a person can lose the presence and the power of God on their life when they intentionally disobey what they know to be God's will. What would it be like to come to a point, church, in your relationship with God where you cry out to God and you feel that His presence isn't there? David is an example. I've given this example before several times in Psalms chapter 13. Where David had in his own way had backslidden, didn't lose his salvation. You don't lose your salvation. And I know that term backslidden is not something that we use quite often, but yet, you know, and I'm very careful in how I want to use it even today, because I don't want you to interpret that you can serve God and then, I mean, you can be saved and lose it. No, once you're saved, you're always saved, but you can, if there is a better way to put it, you can leave the presence of God. God never leaves us. But David in Psalm 13 was not enjoying the presence of God because he had sinned. And you know, that's what happens when we say no to God. How important it is to know and experience God's presence and fellowship every day. For me, I long for that, don't you? I don't want to say no to God. But yet there are times where, humanly speaking, we sometimes do by going against what God says to do. There's a great danger that exists. It is possible, church, for a person to become so far out of God's will that they don't even care whether they're in God's presence and power anymore. Think about that. That's a scary situation, and that's exactly where Jonah was. But does God care? That's, you believe that God cares when we find ourselves in that position? Well, sure He does. He showed us that. He proved us that when the way He treated Jonah. That's why when Jonah said no to God and he got on this ship and he was going to go in the opposite direction of where God told him to do, God sent the storm into Jonah's life. Sometimes God may have to send a storm, so-called, in our life to get our attention when we say no. That's why He had this great fish that was prepared to save Jonah from drowning. That is why He brings chastening sometimes in our lives when we disobey God. Have you lost the presence of God in your life? Jonah did. Now, Jonah was still God's man. Jonah was the prophet of God. But yet, he left the very presence of God in that he broke fellowship with God. He no longer desired to do what God said to do. And by the way, that can happen in an instant. You may be on the mountaintop spiritually right now. Maybe things are going right. But God says, hey, I want you to do this, or I want you to go there, and I want you to, you know, do something that totally is going to uproot what you've got going on in your life. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. And it's easy to say no from a human perspective. It's easy to revert back to the old ways. Now, it would have been a lot simpler for Jonah just to obey God, but he said no to God. And that cost him. It cost him God's presence. You know, if you've been there, you understand. Now, if you've been there, there's only one way back. And it's the same way that Jonah had to get back, and that's repentance. Repentance. One sin can cause us to have broken fellowship with the Lord. Thank the Lord we don't lose our salvation, but yet we can disrupt that fellowship that we have with God. Saying no to God not only cost Jonah God's presence, but it cost him God's place. Please understand what I mean by that. God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh, right? You think that's simple enough? God told him to go. For Jonah, that was where God wanted him to be. That was God's place. Just like Miss Rebecca will tell you, God's place for her is in Mexico. You know, God's place for you may be here. In other words, for Jonah to be in God's will, he needed to be where God's place was for him. Jonah, however, chose to go his own way, and he headed to Tarshish. Now, are we where we should be? Now, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I'm sure as a pastor, I'm where God wants me to be today. But I don't know how long it'll be. You don't know how long it's going to be for you either. But this important thing is you're where God wants you to be. That you know that. It cost him God's place. He was supposed to be in Nineveh. And by the way, we're not in God's will when we are not in God's place. I want to make sure I said that correctly. Let me say it again. We are not in God's will when we are not in God's place. In other words, God's place is always a place of service. A place of service. God never saved anyone so that they could sit down and do nothing. God wants us to be in His place of service in some aspect. Whether it be in ministry in some aspect or... Now, by the way, we're all called to be ministers. You've heard me say that, and that's not my words. That's scriptural if you're a believer. But God wants us to be in His place of service and using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. The place of service right now for all of us, we're here, is in God's house. You know, God's provided a place of service to come to church. But yet we have to ask ourselves, are we serving God faithfully? Are we being used of God? We're always in need of folks who are willing to serve rather than be served. We heard Miss Rebecca made reference to some of that. There's always a need for missionaries to have others, because that's part of a missionary's job, is to train and recruit others there in the field to serve God and to be used of God. Same here. Every person in this auditorium today who is a born-again believer has a special gift from God that should be exercised in ministry of the local church. They're spiritual gifts that God gives us to be used of God in His service. Now, if we're saved, we know what God has done, right? And what God is doing for us. But the question is, what are we doing for God? Jonah missed out on God's blessings and the fact that he wasn't willing to go to God's place. God's blessings are waiting for us in God's place, by the way. If you're not in God's place where God wants you to be, you're missing out on the blessings. If you're not serving God in the way that God would have you to serve, then you're missing out. You may be blessed. We all are in many ways. But how much more blessed could we be if we chose to be in God's place? Jonah found none of God's blessings while he was on the ship to Tarshish, right? There wasn't any blessings there. He found the storm that came about. He didn't find any blessings in the belly of the fish. I mean, really, that was a horror story. God's blessings were waiting for Jonah where? Nineveh. Where he chose not to go. You know, I believe that one reason some believers have so much trouble is that they're not in God's place. Now, that's not to say that every time we have troubles, and don't interpret that in the wrong way, that every time we have troubles that, boy, you know, we must be out of God's will. No, troubles do find us. But you'll find that when you know that you're not in God's will, or you know that you're not in the fellowship with God as you ought to be, then that might be a way to look at, well, am I really receiving the blessings that God wants me to have? And most likely you're robbing yourself of the blessings that God wants you to have by not being in God's place. Saying no to God is a cost, right? It costs us God's presence, God's place. Number three, it costs Jonah God's peace. Would you agree with that? If you read the whole story here, or the whole chapter, there's four chapters. You go to Jonah chapter 4 and verse 3. Jonah's a happy man, right? Read chapter 4 and verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, greatly, in other words. And he was very angry. Very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee. He's pleading with God now. Please take me. Take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. What a sad state. Jonah should have been the happiest man on earth. But he had just witnessed, right? He had witnessed what, no doubt, one of the greatest revivals in history. Wouldn't any missionary be excited about seeing people come to Christ? Getting their heart right? Instead, what did he do? He moaned and groaned over the results of his preaching, and he begged God to kill me. Didn't he learn a lesson? I mean, God could have killed him before, but no, God chose to continue to use him, had him swallowed up by a fish or a whale, whatever you want to call it. And then God spits him out on the ground. He goes to Nineveh, preaches. Thousands of people get saved. And he says, God, I'm angry. Kill me. He had finally done what God had told him to do, but there was no peace. There was no satisfaction in his life. Jonah had an attitude problem. Would you agree? I mean, he was kind of like, well, I won't say it. But anyway, he had an attitude problem that began when he first said what? No. He said no to God. Back in chapter 1, he said no to God. I'm not sure if Jonah ever got things right with God. I don't know whether he did. I hope he did. But he may have died, sadly, an angry man. You know, obedience is doing what you're told with the right attitude, isn't it? We may do what we do for any number of reasons. We may even do what God tells us to do and still have no peace. And Jonah's trouble began where most people's troubles does, and when he said no to the will of God. That's where his troubles began. You see, if we don't learn a lesson in life, let's learn it from this particular passage. When we say no to God, then really we lack that peace that God wants us to have. And I ask you the question, do you know peace? Do you know the peace of God in your life this morning? Well, if you don't, well, you can. You may be one of those Christians that found yourself, nobody else knows about it, but in your own heart you find yourself saying no to God. And it may be something that you're not ready to do quite yet. It may not be anything major that God may not be calling you to a foreign land or mission field or whatever. It's just something simple. And teenagers, you may be finding yourself doing the same thing in the home with your parents or whatever. It's easy to say no to authority. In this case, though, saying no to God is a great cost. It cost him God's presence. It cost him God's place. It cost him God's peace. And the fourth thing that I want us to note, it cost him God's purpose. Yes, God had a purpose for Jonah. It wasn't just to go to preach to Nineveh, but God, this part of what God wanted Jonah to do, yes, is to preach the gospel, to preach so people get saved. But God also had a purpose for Jonah, to use Jonah. God has a purpose for our life as well. You may be sitting here and you're thinking, well, I don't know what God's will is for me. I don't know what God's purpose is for me. Listen, don't try to run ahead and figure it out. Let God, as you wait patiently and as you serve God and put Him in the rightful place of your life and do the things that God would have you to do, then God will show you His purpose and His plan for your life. Every time we rebel against God's will, we're going to lose. I found that. I remember at one time I was a teenager serving God in church and boy, on fire for God, and I got out of God's will. I had one preacher say, well, you backslid. Well, maybe I did, but yet I quit serving God. Got out of church. Started hanging out with the wrong crowd. But deep down in my heart, I knew that God was there. And God began to convict me of that. And I'm thankful that I went back to church and I sat under the preaching and teaching of God's Word and I got my heart right with God, repented. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I didn't get saved all over again, didn't need to. I was already saved. I just was out of God's will. I'm thankful to say, with God's help, I've stayed in God's place since those teenage years. I've experienced God's presence and God's peace and God's purpose. But you know what? That could be wiped out tomorrow. That could be wiped out today. One wrong decision. You know, you may be right now, you may be enjoying the presence of God. You're in the place of God and the peace of God. And maybe right now the purpose, but you know what? All it takes is to say no to God one time. I don't care how long you've been saved. God's purpose for Jonah was just to go to Nineveh. But Jonah rebelled. Up until this point, Jonah was probably obedient, doing everything that God had told him to do. But when God says, hey, I want you to uproot yourself. I want you to go to a people that you hate. And Jonah hated Nineveh. And I want you to go there. And we know that it cost him God's presence, his place, his peace, and purpose. But you know what? God will still forgive us. You may find yourself in that position today. But I'm thankful for God's forgiveness. What has happened with our life is unalterable. Pilate told the Jews on crucifixion day that what he had written and it wouldn't be changed. The question is, what are we writing on our life? We cannot rewrite it, right? We can't go back and undo some things, but we can be forgiven. Life-changing decisions can be made in a moment's time. David committed sin with Bathsheba that God forgave him of, but yet he still, and he got forgiveness, but the scars he lived with. You know, that may be where you find yourself today. You may be here, and sometimes Satan in his own way trying to tell you God can't forgive you, but God is a forgiving God. We need to be careful what decisions we make, granted, because they may cost us the purpose of God in our life. We got to be careful of that. God still used Jonah to bring about a great revival. But what if he had gone to Nineveh the first time? We wouldn't be reading about this today. We wouldn't be reading what we're reading in this book. You see, God put Jonah, this particular book in the Bible for us, I believe today, into modern days time even, to make application, because you know what? We're all capable of saying no to God. And there's a price to be paid. You may be here this morning and you keep saying no to salvation when God is dealing with your heart for repentance, to get saved, to give your heart and life to God, to believe upon Him. Accept His grace and mercy by faith. But it takes repentance. It's not by how many times you come to church. This may be your first time in church today. God is a God who is willing to forgive and to forgive now. Or maybe you're a believer and you're like Jonah, or you know someone like that, and you're rebelling against God. What does it cost to say no to God? Well, it cost a lot. No doubt more than any of us are willing to pay. It cost Jonah God's presence, His place, His peace, His purpose. But what are you willing to do about your life? Is it a lesson that we can all learn from this? I hope it is. You say, well, preacher, that's not for me. I'm not where Jonah's at. You could be. All it takes is one sin. So we don't want to be judgmental and say, well, that message is for another time. Well, maybe it will be, but you know what? God would have you to learn it now so you don't have to experience this for another time. You have a loved one or a friend that you're praying for to get right with God, that you know they're saved, but they're not right with God. You know what? Obviously, we need to pray for them. But we need to also be willing to reach out to them and minister to them and let them know we still serve a forgiving God. You've done some things that obviously that you're not willing to publicize. Well, God already, He already knows about it. If God knows the fish that He used to swallow up Jonah, and by the way, God spoke to that fish. Personally, God spoke to him and said, hey, I want you to spit old Jonah out. Didn't say it quite like I just said it, but it's in Scripture. And what did the fish do? Well, I'm going to enjoy him in my belly for a few days. No. That fish answered God by doing what God told him to do. Listen, if a fish can learn to listen to God, we can, right? And we should. May God help us to do that. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Christians praying. Maybe you want to find your way at the altar this morning. I invite you to do that as our musicians come this morning. Maybe there's someone that God's laid on your heart to pray for. I invite you to come and pray for them. Lay their name on the altar. Or maybe you're here this morning, this first time in church. Or maybe it's you're here in the first time realizing that God loves you. He died for you and He's willing to come into your heart to be your Savior. Would you let us show you from God's Word how you can trust Christ today? We'd love for you to come and let us show you from God's Word how you can invite Him into your heart and life. To believe upon Him by faith, repent of your sins. He's a forgiving God.